Namah Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Budle Shimati Bhakta Vedanta Swamini Namadi Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyabadi Paschacha Deja Tarni. So Om Ganati Madanda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshuru Meditam Yena Tosmai Shigurveya Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances. Please, 6 feet between everybody who's not a family member. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, who so kindly saved me from the darkness of ignorance with a torchlight of knowledge. His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So today, we're going to start off talking about Mother's Day, if that's all right. Since today in America is Mother's Day, I think around the world it's Mother's Day. So I'm going to quote a verse about mothers. How about that? But not only about our birth mother, but about another six mothers. You may say, six mothers? My father only had one wife. He wasn't King Dasarath with three wives. He wasn't King Chitraketu with 10 million wives. He was. I can think of a lot of other examples, too. So, but there are seven mothers that we, all of us have. And we actually have more, but there's seven categories of mothers. Okay? You got that? Okay, because there's actually more under each category. So, let's read this verse. Atma Mata Guror Patni Brahmani Raja Patnika Denur Datri Tata Prithvi Savataita Matara Smitaha. Okay, 6 feet between everybody, please. I've got to remind everybody. So Atma Mata means the real mother from whom I have taken birth. Atma Mata, that means. Atma can sometimes mean the self, but in this particular case it means the body. Guru Patni means the wife of the spiritual master. Now, the reason it's mentioned like that is that nowadays, of course, you have most spiritual masters, at least 80% of them, are sannyasis. So what do you do about that? The reason it's mentioned is in the traditional Vedic system, the guru was married, and those who were sannyasis were not gurus. That may come as a shock to all of you. The reason for that was that the brahmachari guru kule vasandanta gurohitam, the brahmachari would go to the ashram of the spiritual master and be trained up. So if the guru is a sannyasi, then the sannyasi is traveling usually, so he really can't train you up. So, and also when the brahmachari would go to the ashram of the spiritual master, the brahmachari at a young age would have certain emotional needs which other men cannot satisfy. So the you know, usually not, unless a man is unusual. So therefore, the guru was married, just like you see Vasishtha Muni. He was the Kula Guru of the dynasty where Lord Ramchandra appeared, the Surya dynasty. And you have other gurus too. And Sandapani Muni, he was married. Sandapani Muni, he was Krishna's spiritual master. And Sandapani Muni actually had Krishna bring his son back from the dead. It was really interesting. So if you have a real good disciple like Krishna, that's pretty good. Then your guru dakshin can be anything you want. So many of us would like disciples like that. So anyways, that's the reason it says guru patni. But also, we have many instructing gurus who may be married. Many people help us in Krishna consciousness. So the wife of those particular spiritual masters, or even the husband, you know, because sometimes the wife is actually more advanced than the husband, and sometimes the husband's more advanced than the wife. So, anyway, and then Atma Mata Guru Patni Brahmani. And then Brahmani, the wife of a Brahmana, or learned scholar. Atma Mata Goror Putney. Why learned scholar? This is Prabhupada's words. He's also a guru because from learned scholar you learn so many things, and guru teaches us so many things. Therefore, he is father, and his wife is mother. And then Atmamata, Goror Putni, Brahmani, Raja Patnika. Raja Patnika means a queen. And now there is no king, queen, but formerly there was king and queen. So queen is also mother because the king is father. He is giving protection to the citizens. That doesn't mean that the president of the United States' wife should be considered to be our mother. Because here you're referring to Rajarshis. That means saintly kings, not politicians. Because also Chanakapanda says don't trust politicians. Because politicians lie for various reasons, mainly to get elected, sometimes to make money, and other pecuniary purposes. So therefore, when you have a king who is Raja Rishi, Raja Rishi means he's the sage amongst the kings. And he also takes advice from the Brahmanas, someone like Ram. You know, many people in India are hankering for Ram Raj, right? But they don't understand that you need Ram to have Ram Raj. If you have, and this is not a statement about any particular politician, but if you have someone like Ravana, then you don't have Ram Raj. You need Ram to have Ram Raj. That's very, very important. So anyway, so if you have Ram Raj, then Sita is your mother. And if you have Ravana Raj, then you have, Mandodari. And she was also very good. So anyway, so let's go on. Atma Mata Goror Patni Brahmani Raja Patnika Denuhu. That means the cow is our mother. And why, Prabhupada explains, why is she our mother? Because she is supplying milk. You are drinking milk, Prabhupada says, so you are killing cows. So, that is not good. Killing mother. And this is a very important Vedic conception, how the cow is our mother. Because also the bull is considered to be our father, because in the traditional Vedic villages, or Indian villages, the bull would be the one to till the fields, to pull the carts, to do so much work like that. So you got the mother and the father. In fact, you have this story in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Parikshit Maharaj encounters the personality of Kali. And the personality of Kali is torturing the cow and the bull. In fact, he's cutting the bull's legs off. And the bull's legs refer to the principles of religiosity, cleanliness, mercifulness, truthfulness, and austerity. And it's described in the Bhagavatam that the only leg that's standing, at least when Parikshit Maharaj was there, is truthfulness. Of course, I have some doubts whether that leg is standing at all now, because that's the last remaining principle in this age of Kali. So so Kali means quarrel. Kali is actually a demigod. And he is sent, he's considered the worst of the demigods. The second worst is named Dwarpa. He's in charge of the previous yuga. So this, and Kali and Dwarpa took birth as Shakuni and Duryodhana. Wow, good pair. And so they're in charge of this age. And this age is filled with so many difficulties. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagyo padrata. There's people who are unfortunate. Everyone's unfortunate. Even if you have money, you're unfortunate. Short-lived, short memories, bad health. So many discrepancies in this age. And of course, you see so many viruses going around. Like everybody here is wearing a mask. I never foresaw this at all, that one day in the Hare Krishna temple I'd be sitting down and giving class with a mask on. You know, normally I thought, you know, that you go to a hospital and the doctors are wearing masks. No, everybody's wearing masks. I mean, it's incredible. And then you hear about all the injustice in our society, not only in America, course it's there in America too, but in India and then even in some other third world countries, people are dying en masse because of religious discrimination, racial discrimination, cheating. And I was just speaking to some of our devotees in India, and they were talking about how all the different items that are needed to keep people alive, like oxygen and everything, are being hoarded by people. So you can still buy oxygen, but it's five times the price. So this is not, of course, exclusive to India. I mean, in America, it's like that. In America, you have this cheating going on in the name of virtual currency. You know, someone came up with a currency named the dog. I'm not going to get into it right now. So, and then people are speculating, because this is gambling. You know, people often ask me, can I invest in these different currencies? And I said, that's gambling, it's speculation. So even if you make a lot of money, let's say you make a lot of money, and you think that you're becoming more fortunate by that, but actually, money or any sort of opulence in this world without Narayan, without Krishna, gives you the association of Durga. We were talking about this earlier today, that many people, they like to worship Lakshmi, but they don't have Vishnu there at the same time. So when you have Lakshmi without Vishnu, who do you got? You have Durga. Now, we love Durga. She's a great Vaishnava or Vaishnavi. But unfortunately, when you get her, what do you get? You get adhyatmic, adibodhic, and adidaivic miseries. Miseries from the body and mind, miseries from other living entities, and miseries from other, from the material energy in general. So Durga actually means to move. The word itself, Durga, to move with great difficulty. So that's more or less equivalent to someone who's in charge of a prison house. He makes sure the prisoners are kept in their appropriate compartments and made to do work for a pittance. Just like if you are ever put into prison, and of course I don't have experience with this, except going to preach. Actually, one time, I'll tell you one experience I had, was one time I was preaching Krishna consciousness and they arrested me for preaching. And what I did is they took away my beads and everything like that, and they gave me a cup, and I started banging the cup and chanting Hare Krishna. And guess what? They kicked me out of prison in a second. Then you have to post bail, you know, just like, get out of here. We don't want to see you anymore because you're having a kirtan in prison. But just like if you're actually in prison, you know, actually convicted of a crime, then you get paid sometimes a few pennies a day. Whoops. Okay, no mobile phones. You get paid a few pennies a day for working for the state or building the roads. In fact, that's how the roads in Florida got built. They had chain gangs. They would chain all the prisoners together and make them work. So in the same way, in this world, we're made to work hard. That's called pavarga. The word pavarga in Sanskrit is quite an interesting word, and it can be broken out into many other different words like pa, ma, ba, parishma. And I'm not going to go into the whole analysis, but basically it means hard work, foaming at the mouth, fainting, and finally, mrityu, death. Because when you work real hard, you know, imagine if I tell you, you can work real hard for me for 50 years, and as a result, as a payment, I'm going to give you an old body. Serve me for 50 years, and I'll give you an old body with arthritis and gray hair and heart condition, and you'll have to go to the hospital to get everything, get to keep yourself running for some time. Is it still online or what? And I say, that's your payment. And then after that, you get mrityu. You get to lose it all. You know, all of us are accumulating things in this world. Pa-ba, ma, parishrabha. So therefore, if we want to have opulence in this world, we have to worship Krishna. So when you worship Krishna or Narayan alongside Lakshmi, you get the real Lakshmi. You get happiness. Because what Krishna tells us in the Gita is Swapam Apyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobayat. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, isn't it? Every other endeavor, there's loss and diminution. Loss of, you know, your youth, loss of your money, loss of family members. I mean, just like we'd lose so many people due to this COVID. But in the activities of Krishna consciousness, you get to keep what you acquire. Just like I know I've been serving Prabhupada or attempting to serve Prabhupada throughout my life. And I'm not going to lose any of that. You know, I may lose my computer, my car, God forbid. But what I've done for Krishna, whatever I've done for Krishna, is never lost. Isn't that wonderful? So anyway, so that's really important to understand. So getting back to the point about, of course, we're talking about the cow and religious principles and things like that. So this age of Kali, people are engaged in so much cow slaughter and exploitation of the cow. And this is one of the most horrendous activities that we can imagine. And then finally, Prithivi, the last one, it's interesting. Prithivi can mean earth, it can also mean the material nature. So that's the last mother. And we find ourselves exploiting that mother also in so many ways. I was giving a class earlier today about this, how through the pollution of the environment, the throwaway culture that we have, there's actually virtually continents of plastic floating in the ocean right now as we talk, right in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and some in the Atlantic Ocean. And then when you drink your water, there's all these micro particles of plastic in the water. It's incredible how we've polluted the environment. And then we complain, the global warming, hurricanes and tornadoes and so much bad weather that we're experiencing right now, and that's all due to the mistreatment of the earth. So anyway, so this Mother's Day, we should remember these seven mothers and respect these seven mothers. Incidentally, the men should see every lady who they're not married to as a mother. That doesn't mean practically that you go up to them and you ask them for an allowance, like you would ask your mother for. You know, there's a way to take that literally and there's a way to take it figuratively. That means with great respect. And we see this in our Vaishnav history. I mean, let's take the example of Lord Ram. And not only Lord Ram with Kausalya, but even with Kaikeyi. You've all heard of Kaikeyi before? Now, Kaikeyi was influenced by Mantra. And Mantra was like the nurse of Bharat who brought Bharat up. Anyway, for those of you who don't know the Ramayana, they're four brothers, Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. And so Kaikeyi was the mother of Bharat. And she wanted her son to be enthroned. I'm just saying this for people who don't know what I'm talking about. She wanted her son to be enthroned rather than Ram. And so she had a blessing or a benediction from her husband, actually several benedictions. It's an interesting story in the Ramayana. I hadn't planned about talking about the Ramayana today, but we'll do it anyway. There's an interesting story in the Ramayana how when Dasarath, who is the father of Ram and also husband of these three ladies, he actually got married to Kaikeyi, and she's from Kaikeya. This is the province that she's come from. It's interesting, sometimes the ladies were called names in terms of the province that they came from. Did you know that? Like Gandhari, Kandahar. She's an Afghanese girl. Or she was, sorry. So Kaikeyi was married to Dasarath. But before she got married to Dasarath, Dasarath had to promise her father, the father of the Kaikeyi province, that her son would be the next king or the next emperor. So you have that promise there. And Dasarath hadn't remembered that. Many of you don't know that. That's in the original Ramayana. And so then Dasarath later on makes two promises to Kaikeyi when they're in the battlefield. Because this is also interesting. Kaikeyi was driving the chariot. You know, many of you think, you know, the women shouldn't be drivers. Some of you men, you know, you're driving your car and you're cut off by some lady who's not paying attention. You say, oh, those women drivers. But but actually, in the Vedic system, they had women chariot drivers. I mean, we have also Subhadra, she was driving the chariot. Right? Rukmini, she was driving the chariot. And they knew how to fight. You know, so the ladies had equal facility, equal rights, even in the Vedic system. It's not that they were just rolling those rotis all day long. You know, they turn the ladies into roti machines, you know. You can make a machine that does that. You don't need to get married to roll rotis. So anyway, so getting back to the story of Kaikeyi. So she was driving Dasarath's chariot. And she saved Dasarath. He was fighting this big battle. Actually, oftentimes he fought on the side of the demigods against the demons. And in fact, he was such a good fighter, he was called Dasarath. That means he could fight with 10 chariots or in 10 directions at one time. So Kaikeyi saved his life. And he was so grateful to Kaikeyi. He said, whatever you want, I'll give you two benedictions. And she said, later on, I'll ask them, I'll save them up till later. Remember that. If anyone offers you benedictions, save them up to when you really need them. So what happened is that Kaikeyi was informed that Ram was going to be enthroned as the king or emperor. And she was happy about it. She loved Ram, but then Mantara interceded. Mantara encouraged her or discouraged her and said, don't you understand, you're going to become a servant of Kausalya and Ram, and Bart will simply be a slave. This is planned by Dasarath, your husband. And so what she did is she even made Dasarath promise a third time. She went into the angry room of the chariot of the castle, because every lady would have a special room in the castle where she could get angry. That's part of being a queen. You get an angry room. So anyway, so she was in the angry room. Dasarath goes to see her after promising Ram that he's going to enthrone him. And he says, where is she? And the servant said, she's in the angry room. He goes and finds her on the ground. She's pounding the ground. And finally, he says, get up and I'll give you whatever you want. And she says, really? Thank you. And she gets up, wipes the tears from her eyes and says, okay, you remember those two promises? You promise it to me. And then what happens is that she asked for Ram to be exiled and for her son to become the king. And Dasarath is beside himself. Later on, he dies after exiling Ram. Okay, fast forward. But what happens is that later on, Ram is not angry at her. Not only is he not angry at her, he deals with her practically more lovingly than he deals with the other two mothers, Sumitra and Kausalya. And the reason is because she's in such pain having done that. So that's also Ajata Satrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhavushana, that a sadhu or a great personality, what, has no enemies. So Ram is actually like that. And so but this is the point, he's treating her as his mother. But she's also the wife of the king and the co-wife with his mother. So he's treating them all with great respect. It's amazing. It's amazing. So it's important for all of us that we treat all ladies with great respect like that. And then, of course, you have other stories, too, where you have Kapila Dev treating his mother, Devahuti, with respect and preaching to his mother and helping his mother in Krishna consciousness. And then what I wanted to refer to today, before I got started with this long introduction, was a story about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which I've been talking about the last few days in our evening class, which is starting at 5 o'clock every day, is Lord Chaitanya's devotion to his mother. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And sannyasi means, basically, you have no more material relationships. It's called civil death. It's, you know, not physical death, but civil death. You have no more obligations in society. And whatever, you know, everybody is your family at that point. Yastu sarvani bhutani atman evanu pashyati. So Lord Chaitanya is thinking, after he takes sannyas, let me just go to Vrindavan and just be, I guess, a babaji in Vrindavan. But Lord Nityananda, his associate, has a different plan. Because Lord Nityananda knows how much the devotees, including Lord Chaitanya's mother, loves him. And so he doesn't want them to be bereft of Lord Chaitanya's association. So Lord Chaitanya goes to Vrindavan, but he's not actually on the way to Vrindavan because he's tricked by Lord Nityananda to think that he's going to Vrindavan. This is amazing because Lord Nityananda, of course, is Balaram, Lakshman. And you have all these interesting interactions whenever Krishna appears or Ram appears or any of the incarnations appear between Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha, you know, the Chaturvyuha expansions. So Lord Nityananda says to Lord Chaitanya, I'm taking you to Vrindavan. But actually, he takes him in a circuitous route. That means in a circle. And he takes him to a river that he calls the Yamuna. But in fact, that river is the Ganges. But he's not completely lying, because after the Triveni, guess what? You got the Ganges, Saraswati, and the Yamuna just like merging into one, right? So he's not completely lying, but he is lying. You know, let's be honest about it. Lord Nityananda is lying for his, for his own purposes. Because Lord Nityananda is an avaduta. He doesn't have to follow any of these standard rules and regulations. He just does what's best. Just like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he broke Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's danda in three places. Actually had three sticks after that. So Lord Nityananda doesn't have to follow etiquette. So anyway, so Lord Nityananda leads Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Ganges. Lord Chaitanya thinks it's the Yamuna. He jumps in to the Ganges thinking, oh, the Yamuna, Yamuna Mai Ki Jai. And then he sees the Dvaitacharya on the other side. And he goes, what are you doing in Vrindavan? And then the Dvaitacharya has a perfect response. He says, wherever you are is Vrindavan, which is true. Wherever a pure devotee, wherever Krishna is in his original form, like Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself in the mood of Radharani, that's Vrindavan. Like here, you are all sitting in Vrindavan now because Radha Golokananda is right there, right? So it's not a lie. And then he gives Lord Chaitanya some garments because Lord Chaitanya's clothes are all wet. And he brings Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into his house, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, they're taking prasad, and Lord Nityananda is fighting with the Dvaitacharya, but that's not the purpose of my telling the story. But then they bring Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother there. And Lord Chaitanya says to his mother, remember he's a sannyasi, civilly dead, not allowed to go back to his same village, prohibited, Sannyasi should never go back to the same village. Why that? Back to the same village? Because it brings so many memories of your childhood, so many attachments. So sannyasi is supposed to become detached from this world and attached to Krishna. But if you're starting to think about all your childhood escapades, it really doesn't help. I mean, it's a great allurement. And oftentimes I give the example that once in a while I've gone on Google Earth and zoomed in on my childhood house and just like visited my childhood, right, this is a confession, zoomed in on my childhood house to remember my childhood pastimes. This is my room, this is my brother's room, this is where we played baseball, like that. And then it's just, Maya. Or when someone plays a song that you heard when you were young, some Bollywood song, go, 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 Govinda, go, 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 Govinda. I'm sure you know that movie. So anyways, someone plays a song, it just brings back all these thoughts. But of course, one is supposed to come to the point of what? Remembering Krishna. Yam yam bhavi smaran bhavam yasityante kalevaram. At the end of this life, you better remember Krishna, because if you don't remember Krishna, then look at Bharat Maharaj. Then you're going to take birth as a deer, or you'll take birth as a insect in the house that you grew up in. Or you'll take birth as your son's son. Or you'll take birth as a cobbler in the same village where your children are growing up, and you'll be beaten by your children when they're not satisfied with the shoes that you're making. The story Prabhupada tells, anyway. So therefore, a sannyasi, generally, he has to be detached. This is really important, not to be reminded of his because sarvopadi vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktru chite. One has to be free from all these designations. You know, I'm American, I'm white, I'm black, I'm Indian, and this and that, you know, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. In fact, traditionally, when a sannyasi took sannyas, he even took off his Brahmin thread, because that's a designation. I mean, we keep Brahmin threads because that's part of preaching. But even he would take off the Brahmin thread, shave off everything, because it'd get rid of all these upadis, these designations. Nowadays, sometimes you find people taking sannyas and they become more sexist than racist than they were before. But that's not sannyas. Sannyas means yastu sarvani bhutani atmane vanupashati, to see everyone equally. So getting back to the story of Lord Chaitanya's mother, obviously that's why I'm telling the story. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets his mother for the first time after taking sannyas. And he says to his mother, Mother, this body belongs to you. I had no right to take sannyas. You know, basically, please excuse me, I was mad. He makes an excuse. Of course, he's mad in love of Krishna, obviously. And this is a pastime. But still, he says this to his mother. And then he says to his mother, basically, well, I'm just paraphrasing. He says to his mother, tell me where I should go. His mother is in a conflict situation. She's thinking, I really want to bring him home. I want to bring my Nimai home. But she's understanding, if I bring Nimai home, it will actually destroy his reputation. You know, you imagine a sannyasi, like if I went to live with my mother in New York right now. He said, what kind of sannyasi is that? Anyways, so... You know, I call her on the phone, wish her happy Mother's Day, everything like that. But it'll destroy. So she's thinking, I don't want to do that. But at the same time, I don't want him going to Vrindavan either. But Lord Chaitanya wants to go to Vrindavan. That's his desire. Because he's what? He's Krishna in the mood of Radharani. And therefore he's thinking, I have to go to Vrindavan. Because Radharani never leaves Krishna, never leaves Vrindavan, and Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, even though he may not be manifest sometimes. So Lord Chaitanya is thinking, I got to get to Vrindavan, right? I mean, later on he visits Vrindavan, later on in his pastimes. But she's thinking, I don't want him going to Vrindavan. So you have this conflict going on. I want him home. I don't want him going to Vrindavan. So they come up with a win-win. What's the win-win? She says, you should go to Jagannath Puri. And Jagannath Puri is close enough, so I'll always get word of where you are, because devotees are going back and forth continually. And in this way, I will always be connected with you. And Lord Chaitanya, being obedient to his mother. Of course, this was his desire. Obviously, Krishna is in the heart. Lord Chaitanya is in everyone's heart, including the heart of his mother. And he's having his mother speak that way because that's his desire to go to Jagannath Puri, because in Jagannath Puri, the most intense mood of vipralamba or separation is experienced between the Lord and his devotees. You see, the Rath Yatra is a ceremony of Krishna, come back to Vrindavan, Krishna, come back to Vrindavan, dragging Krishna back to Vrindavan. So anyway, but Lord Chaitanya, the main point I'm making is that Lord Chaitanya listens to his mother. He's the greatest devotee of his mother. So the moral of the story is listen to your mother. But have her make a win-win so that you can be Krishna conscious too. Because if your mother tells you don't be Krishna conscious, like, here's an interesting story. Once upon a time there were two boys who joined the movement. The mother didn't like it very much. So she went to see Prabhupada. Prabhupada, very expert in dealing with mothers. He said to the two boys, you touch your mother's feet, like that. And then Prabhupada, just to make sure the mother's not going to oppose the kids joining, ups the ante, so to speak. He says, I'm taking care of your two boys. Can you also give a donation to help take care of them? And then she says, I already gave you my two sons. Okay, thank you. Prabhupada knew what he was doing. You know, Prabhupada is very strategic. Very strategic. You know, Prabhupada will often say, I was a Calcutta man. So in other words, Prabhupada knew exactly, the devotees never got cheated or anything like that. So the lady says, what do you want, my money? I already gave you my sons. And Prabhupada said, okay, that's okay. So the point I'm making is that one should always love one's mother and serve one's mother. And in my own life, of course, my mother did object to me joining the Krishna Consciousness Movement, but now she's very much appreciative. My mother recently has said that she's a Hare Krishna, and she calls me by my spiritual name. So really, if we want to do the best thing for our mothers, because if you really love someone, you want to know what is the best thing, and you want to do the best thing for them, right? Like if you're a doctor, let's say if you're a doctor in the hospital and the patient is saying, don't hurt me, don't cut me. But you know to save them, you have to cut them and there's going to be a little pain, right? So you do it because you're interested in saving the patient. So also, you know, if you actually love your mother and love your family and everything like that, you want to know what's best for them. You know, many times there's these two words, Shreya and Preya. You understand? Preya means like what's immediately best for me. Shreya means what? Ultimately, what's good for me. So sometimes these two things are in conflict. What's good for me today, what's good for me for the next year, and then what's good for me ultimately. So one should understand what's the best way to serve one's parents. Like Prahlad Maharaj, for example. He was definitely opposed, I don't know so much to his mother, but to his father. He was really opposed to his father. His father, of course, was very sweet and loving and tried to convince his son using sweet words, you know. My dear son. No, he didn't. He actually tried to threaten his son, kill his son in so many ways. But Prahlad Maharaj never gave up his love for his father. It's really interesting. So after his father left this world, and Lord Hrishikesh was asking him, what do you want? He said, please save my father. So the love is there. You know, so Krishna consciousness is like that. It's love for one's mother, father, and actually, you know, ultimately for all living entities. But especially on this particular day, we should remember our love for our mother, because she gave us this body, and this body is meant to use to serve Krishna, and we should find out what's the best thing we can do for our mother to help her become Krishna conscious. And of course, we know if you become Krishna conscious, so many generations, isn't it, of your family become liberated. I experienced that in my own life with my mother and also my father. My father, as he was getting ready to leave this world, he says, whatever success I've achieved in this life, I know is due to your devotion, before he left this world. I mean, it took him a long time to appreciate that. But, you know, he actually was very, very appreciative. So we have to think long term. What is the best thing for my... Because you love someone. You don't want them to suffer after this life. You want them to have eternal life full of bliss and knowledge, isn't it? Isn't that what you want? And if you're a parent, of course, the instruction given by Lord Rishabhadeva is what? No one should become a mother or father or a guru or worshipful deity or whatever unless you're capable of freeing your dependence from the cycle of birth and death. So no one should become a son either or daughter. Well, how can you become a son or a daughter? You don't have much choice. But anyway, if you want to be a real son or a real daughter rather than Putra, if you don't want to be Mutra, those of you from India know that, the difference between Mutra and Putra. Prabhupada said, the son who is a good son or the daughter who is a good daughter is called Putra Putri. And the son or the daughter who is not a good daughter or son, who doesn't help the parent advance spiritually, is called Mutra, or I guess Mutri. I don't know if there's actually such a word as Mutri, but anyway. So you get the idea. So I guess we're not going to go on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I spoke longer than I thought. So any questions or comments about this Mother's Day? Questions, comments? Yes, Gopal. Yes.
So what is the responsibility of those?
Unless you're a Ramakrishna. Ramakrishna considered his wife to be his mother. Yes, go ahead. That was a joke.
So what is the reciprocal responsibility of such an individual seen as mother?
That means respect. That actually all women should be seen as respectable like Lakshmi. That's really what it means. Not in the same sense as the physical mother or anything like that, but like Lakshmi. Just like everybody here, especially those from India, you're very respectful with Lakshmi. And of course, at Lakshmi Puja, you don't want to spend money, right? Because if you spend money on that one day, it's described that the rest of the year the money will go out. So you're very careful on that one day. So all the ladies should be treated like Lakshmi with great respect. Because one offends a lady, a chaste lady, then you actually go to HELL. It's actually the most dangerous thing to do, to offend a chaste. Don't offend a man either. Not just say, well, you're not a lady, I can offend you. But it's really important when this is civilized society. I mean, you see in the case of the Kuru dynasty, the whole dynasty was destroyed because of the offenses against Draupadi. I mean, everything got destroyed because of that. So one should never, I mean, and Duryodhana had to have his thighs broken just because he suggested something with Draupadi, right? He said that Draupadi should sit on his lap. You know, just a great offense. Just because of that, his thighs were broken. So you really have to be careful of not offending ladies, because all ladies should be seen as mothers in the sense of respectable. You know, I always thought about this. You know, what am I going to do with someone who's like 50 years younger than me? Am I going to think, mommy? You know, it's kind of hard. It's a real stretch of the imagination, isn't it? Okay, mommy, I'm your son. No, what I just think, you know, respectable. And no offense, no yelling, or anything like that. And you see, Prabhupada said, with those couples, household couples, where the wife and the husband don't argue, Lakshmi is always present there. It is a fact. And when the husband and wife argue and don't cooperate, then there's the family is bereft of opulence, bereft of happiness. So that's what it means. Yes, Gopal?
So in reciprocation of that respect that the mothers are receiving, what is their responsibility to, in which way do they respond?
Talk to your wife about that. It doesn't matter. You still have to be respectable. That's the point. Respect. You have to give respect. You have to give respect without expecting respect in return. Amanina amanadena. Really, that's important. To offer respects to all others and not expect any respect. And that will be a test of our, not only relationship, you know, with men to ladies or whatever, but in relationship to all of us. We give respect to others. Namanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That's humility. If you expect respect, and that happens, it's very dangerous, especially as one acquires material opulence. What is that? Janmaishvarya shrutasya shibiraidamana dapuman. If one actually gets wealth or let's say thinks he has a good birth or she has a good birth, or is one's very learned, acquires a lot of knowledge, or is very intelligent, or one is very handsome or beautiful, which is very temporary anyway, then one doesn't act humbly anymore. And you expect people to respect you. And it's very dangerous. We should come to the point of not identifying with our external designations, our external opulences, and simply see ourselves as Gopi Bharata Kamala Dasa Dasa Dasana Dasa. We're servants of a servant of a servant of the Lord who maintains the gopis in Vrindavan. Okay. I think that's it. So now, all offer obeisances, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Okay. Aditya, you have an announcement? You can take the microphone out from there and make an announcement.